So tell me a little bit about some of the things you're seeing as far as the quality of water. Now, you said that your most of your work primarily is in the suburbs, which many of the suburbs do tap into Chicago as their feed for water, but then many of them also use common wells, right, in many of the suburbs.
That's correct. It is a little tricky because you deal with both different types of water. Chicago water, what drove a lot of interest just a few years back, was Chromium 6. That was a huge, huge news. It sort of died off, but it's still prevalent. Chromium 6 is a cancer-causing agent that's been found in the water supplies and across the country, and the Environmental Working Group found that out. So between that and as you start researching or reading more about from the New York Times toxic water study, you start seeing that the suburbs have their own problems. It's usually radium that's in the water. They're at high levels below EPA standards. Some of them are above EPA standards, but they tend to fix them. But as you see these things and you start being part of this industry, you start realizing there's a lot to water. And when you really think about it, there's logic behind it. The more population you have, the more pollution you get. So as a result, it does make sense, I think, to filter the water.
All right. So talk to me about some of the options that are available for people when it comes to filtering water in their homes. I mean, one of the things is, do I need to filter the water that I connect my sprinkler to?
Sure. No, I think when you take a look at water in general, 99% of the water is actually used for like industry or personal use for showers and all that. Less than 1% is drinking. So the very first thing that we typically look at, like for yourself, I know you live in Chicago, is you got to look at the city's added a lot of chlorine to the water. So the very minimum that I would look at for you would be to remove chlorine out of the water. Then as you become more educated, you might say, okay, well, I don't like mercury in the water. I don't like lead in the water. I don't like chromium 6 in the water. So the next step for a drinking water system would be a reverse osmosis system, just a good, high-quality, NSF-certified unit that can actually purify the water at the point of use, which is like the kitchen sink. And that's the type of thing that, I try to lean a lot of customers to at a very minimum is to do that.
Let me stop you right there. Because people always hear reverse osmosis. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that reverse osmosis thing. Explain how that works.
Sure. It's a little complicated, but in essence, you run the water through a series of filters, one of which is called a membrane. And in that membrane, it basically splits that water molecule and takes almost everything off of it. So as it's taken everything off of it, it discharges some water with that waste, and then it purifies just the one droplet of water, and it sort of drips and gets put into a holding tank. So at that point, then that water is actually very, very pure.
So you'll put in particular from a drinking standpoint, these reverse osmosis kits, some of them are small enough that they could fit under a kitchen sink.
Yes, most of them are, yes.
And so there's a holding tank there where it gets fed into the holding tank, and then you've got a dispenser perhaps off to the side of the kitchen sink where you can pour a glass of water or you can fill up a teapot or even fill up a pot for cooking pasta.
You got it. Exactly. It's a separate little faucet at the kitchen sink. And a lot of times we're lucky enough to run a line over to the ice maker too. So the industry, even the President's Cancer or Council on Cancer, says the best thing humans can do or Americans can do is filter their tap water to prevent cancer. And so this unit is a perfect example of it. You fill up a stainless steel or glass bottle. You fill it up, stick it in the refrigerator. Hopefully you'll have a fridge that has a water dispenser. And that's what you use for your drinking water. Man, oh, man, this has got to be one of the best things people can do because it also reduces the plastic impact that we have on our environment. I mean, look at all the plastic bottles. I mean, heck, they've outlawed plastic bottles in the major cities of California because it's just so bad for the environment. So these are some really good steps I think people can do that can really get themselves at least drinking healthier water.
All right. Now, typically a unit like this, a reverse osmosis unit where you could potentially hook it up to an ice maker and you could put that water dispenser in if it allows, what are we talking about to install something like that? And Andrew, one other thing, not only to install it, but then what do I got to do to maintain it?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So you know, reverse osmosis systems, you can find them at, you know, the big box stores real cheap at $180, but they're not certified by NSF to the quality that some of the better ones are. Some of the better ones in the industry you can find, they start around $1,000. By the time you're done installing, probably $1,200, somewhere in that area. And I think that that's usually one of the better ones for you to do. And then annually, the better units that you buy have to have the filters changed once a year. Conversely, the less expensive ones, you have to change the filters every 3 months. So it's sort of like a loss leader. Let's get it into the house cheap, but let's hammer them with all the replacement filters.
Right.
The more money you spend up front, the higher quality unit you get. You know, and, you know, usually there's a couple big brand names out there that are pretty decent that you can find.